Hey guys, and welcome to Hunting Land, presented by Great Days Outdoors Magazine. If you'd like to stay up to date on hunting tactics, land management, land values, and land market dynamics, this is the podcast for you. This week's show is brought to you by NCX. As a landowner, the more income I can generate from my land, the better I can take care of it. That's why I trust NCX. They've helped over 20,000 landowners across America earn more than $20 million through programs like carbon credits, wildlife habitat enhancement, solar energy development, sustainable timber management, and more. Want to see what your land could be earning? Visit ncx.com and discover the funding opportunities available to you. And as a Great Days Outdoors listener, you get your first month of NCX membership free. Just use the code GREAT at checkout and unlock the potential of your land today. Again, that's the code GREAT at ncx.com. If you're looking for a beautiful state that's packed with outdoor attractions, check out Mississippi. Of course, you know about the Mississippi River, but there are a lot of great rivers for paddling throughout the state. Coastal Mississippi's waters are perfect for deep sea fishing or exploring the state's five uninhabited barrier islands. You'll find national forests with campgrounds, trails, and recreational sites, 25 state parks, and wildlife management areas too. Whatever you like to do in the great outdoors, you can do in Mississippi, where wanderers are welcome. Plan your adventure at visitmississippi.org/outdoors. Air Medcare. Would your insurance cover an air ambulance in a medical emergency? The fact is, insurance often doesn't cover the full cost of medical flights, leaving you and your loved ones at financial risk. But with an Air Medcare network membership, you can focus on recovery and not on finances should the unexpected happen. Air Medcare takes care of everything, with no costs for flights only when flown by one of our providers. Membership covers your full household and starts at $99 a year. Visit gdo.deals/airmedcare to enroll. I'm your host, Joe Baia, here today with my co-host, Butch Theory. Butch, putting up a shooting house is a lot of work. For one thing, you want to make sure you don't have to do it again if you can help it. I'm hoping my stands stay right where they are until something happens to them. I don't know what would happen that would cause them to disintegrate, but I don't want to move them again. I'm happy where they are. But the thing, you know, the reason that I've learned to put so much thought into shooting house placement is if you do it right and you think about everything we're going to talk about today, it basically nullifies any pressure that you put on that spot by hunting it, unless you shoot something, you know, and you have to go out and kind of tromp things up. But sure, if you do it right, I feel like where you've helped me a lot at my place, I feel like I could hunt my blinds every day of the season and it would have zero impact on the pressure that I'm putting on the property, because we took into account how we're going to get in, how we're going to get out, prevailing wind direction, prevailing movement of the animals, bedding areas, you know, it's a lot. We're going to talk about all of it.
Yep.
I feel like it just pressure's the thing that you don't see people writing about it much. Everybody wants to talk about, when it comes to hunting whitetails, they want to talk about a new product, or they want to talk about a new strategy, you know, new food, new. But what I don't hardly ever see anybody writing about pressure. And how to, and we're talking about hunting private land. We're not talking about public land. You can't control what other people do, but you can control what you do. And pressure is that thing that is to me, it's the trump card. It's the most important thing.
Yeah. Especially down here in the Southeast, I feel like you hear people talk all the time, you know, my deer are nocturnal. They've gone nocturnal. 2 weeks after the season, they're nocturnal. Well, that's probably because you're blowing them out every time you walk in and out of that stand. Mm-hmm. They're smelling you. They're seeing you. And they know that something's not right. And of course, you're not going to go back to that buffet with a rifle pointing at you. Are you? I'm not. Yeah.
People can't believe it. You've got tons of pictures of mature, I mean, I would say three-year-old bucks, you know, laying down in the middle of your food plots in broad daylight. I've got photos of mature bucks laying down in my food plots.
I've seen them do it in the stand. I've seen them do it. Yeah.
Right. And you go and talk to people and they're like, number one, they've never seen that happen. Number two, they don't believe you. Like, nah, mature bucks don't walk out of
You're not
food
going to kill a
plots in the
big buck
middle
in
of
your
the
food
day.
plot.
Yeah,
You're not
you
doing it right.
absolutely will if you know how to manage your pressure. And that's the thing nobody's paying attention to. And man, if you're hunting a field, like there's a reason why shooting houses are superior. They themselves help you manage your pressure that you put on the property, but it's not good enough to just have a shooting house. You got to think about the placement big time. I mean, it's you got to nerd out on it a little bit. Luckily, I enjoy that, and we're going to get into all those different aspects today. You got any shooting houses on your place you'd like to move, like where they just y'all didn't really get them in the right spot the first time?
Man, we've kind of been at it a long time. I really don't have a whole lot that I would improve right now. It's kind of one of those things, like you say, you do your homework, you put in the time before you put that thing there because you don't want to move it. They're
Right.
not small, they're not easy to move, and hopefully it'll be there forever if you do your homework first.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to get into that today. To do that, talking with Cody Borgfeld from Texas Hunter. Cody, Butch and I spent a lot of time thinking about shooting house placement.
Too
We're
much time.
mostly, yeah, it's fun though. It's fun to
It
nerd
is
out
fun.
on it. But we're mostly relating it to green fields, food plots. A lot of my stand placement, when I'm thinking about, hunting food sources in the woods or shooting lanes or travel corridors and things like that, it's ladder stands and lock-ons and maybe bow hunting related and that kind of
Right.
thing. You guys being out of Texas, I would imagine you got a lot of insight into how to hunt senderos where you got deer probably in every direction. That's one of the things that I want to talk to you about today in getting into how to actually figure out the right spot, the ideal spot, some of the things you think about. Before we do that, though, tell us a little bit about Texas Hunter and how long you guys have been making shooting houses.
Sure. No, thank you guys for having me. Yeah, I'm Cody Borgfeld. I'm the general manager at Texas Hunter Products. Company's been around for 70 years. They started making hunting products in 1954.
Wow.
And they started actually with observation towers, is what they called them for Texas Parks and Wildlife. So that's really kind of what they started making them out of or making them for. Some of the same designs that they started making in the 60s are still around today, just improved materials, lighter weight, just longer lasting stuff that we're making out of. But we sell a full line of blinds, feeders, fish feeders, protein feeders, road feeders, and then some accessories go along with all those products. So it's been a su successful trip so far and looking to continue that.
70 years in the game, I'm sure y'all have learned a thing or two and learned what not to do, what to do. When it comes to shooting houses, though, I mean, the thing that has always gotten on my nerves over the years is like, I've just had these experiences where certain fields just sucked. It just seemed like we're always getting snorted at, or you'd get there and there'd be deer in the field and you'd scare them all out, when you got there, or it was hard to get out of the blind without busting deer out of there. Shot didn't seem like it was set up right, or the wind was never right for it. There's a lot that goes into thinking about where to actually put the shooting houses. And most of the places I've been, they just kind of plunk it on the edge of the field.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think there's a lot more to consider too. Like you're talking about senderos versus food plots.
Right.
I mean,
Sure.
whenever I'm walking into if I'm hunting in the morning, say at this shooting lane where I know it's a good travel corridor, they're going from bedding to feeding and I can see them in all different directions. I'm not really that concerned about it. I'm not concerned about, I mean, I'm not going to tromp through there like a gorilla, but I'm just not near as concerned as being stealthy and sneaking in and out of that shooting house because I don't think it matters near as much as, a deer sitting there as being a captive audience looking at you or trying to bust you, like at a food plot.
Right.
So for you, it sounds like Butch, like when it comes to maybe an order of importance, like your ingress and egress, it is important, but it depends on
It
if you're
definitely
hunting a food
depends.
plot or versus whether you're hunting a shooting lane or, out there in Texas, y'all call those senderos.
Senderos.
I'm gonna start calling shooting lanes senderos.
Yeah, let's bring it back. Let's
The
bring it to Bama.
just a cooler
What's
word.
most important for you, Cody? Like, is there one thing that trumps all others when it comes to putting a shooting house in the right spot, or for you, is it like situation by situation, like Butch was saying?
There's a lot of personal preference in setting up blinds. When I look at a place, I like to look at an aerial. just to kind of see what's around it. If you have other blinds in the area, I don't personally like to be setting up real close to those, especially if you're rifle hunting. Bow hunting might be a different situation. You have to look, first off, have you seen wildlife in the area? Is there an opening? Is there a shooting lane? Is there a road to be hunting at? So those are, kind of the couple things that I look at. Have you seen deer there before? Is it in the general area of another spot that you're hunting? I kind of like to spread things out, not be, some of these places you get 8, 10 blinds on, and then you create little pockets. So you're going to have an area where, deer are going to this spot. Are there a lot of deer in that area? Do you want something else near that? Or is there an area across the ranch that there's really nothing there? You've seen deer there, and it might be a good potential spot for you to put something. It just depends on also how much work you want to put into it. Do you want to create a lane for shooting and putting a blind up, or is there a field all there already? So those are a couple things to think about.
Proximity to other blinds is one of those ones that's always kind of freaked me out a little bit. It's weird for me to be able to see another hunter when I've got a high powered rifle in my hand. Y'all got a couple of places on your place, Butch, where it's like when you and I've been hunting together, like, oh, Butch just shot, it'll jump you out of
Yeah.
your seat.
Well, that was a little unique situation, the one exactly one you're talking about. But yes, I agree with that.
I think too a lot about the terrain, like where I am. Cody, in East Central Alabama, my place is just flat as a pancake. I mean, no topography to speak of unless you're in a ditch. Out there where you hunt in Texas, we were talking a little bit before we started recording. You're in the hunting in the hill country some of the time. Does terrain, besides proximity to other locations and those natural movement patterns, I think that is very important because you don't want to invest the time and energy in putting up a shooting house if you're not sure that this is the right spot. So it kind of sounds like for you, it might be wise to hunt a spot with a more mobile stand to begin with before you commit to a shooting house location. Is that a
Yeah,
strategy
sometimes I
you
mean
employ?
we can even put a feeder out and we'll put a camera on and see, hey, is this worth putting them stand here?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Feeders are a lot easier to move than a deer blind. So
Right, for sure.
but yeah,
Yeah.
that's one of the things I like doing is just seeing if it's even worth doing. You can put a feeder out for a few weeks and you kind of get the general idea of what's going to be coming there.
One thing I've definitely noticed too, like Joe, you were talking about some spots you just seem to get smelled all the time or busted. I have one field in particular that it's kind of in between kind of two, I mean, I say hills loosely, and where I am, it's not very hilly,
A
but it's kind of
mound.
like a
It's like a
draw.
mound.
It's yeah, but it's kind of like gets down into a draw, and it seems like they always smell you right there. And unless you have a very, very hard wind right into your face, it just seems to swirl around that hollow.
Yeah,
Yeah.
sometimes in the draws that wind really swirls and it gets them off gear.
One of the things that I look at, like to that point, Butch, like my place, Cody, it's about 200 acres. So when my family and I go up there for a weekend, we don't have an unlimited number of places that we can hunt. We're relegated to, I've got three really big food plots and a few other smaller food plots out there. And so, if it's rifle season and we're going to be on those big patches, most likely. So one of the things I look at a lot is what's that prevailing wind direction, and especially during rifle season. Like during rifle season, where I position that shooting house, I want to be able to take advantage of that prevailing wind direction, not just for when I'm sitting there, but also when I go into the stand and when I exit the stand, 'cause I really don't want those animals to know that I'm there at all. One of the questions I have about that though, in particular is, we try to set those up so that no matter what the wind is blowing, we've got a place to hunt on that day. With y'all's shooting houses, the designs that you have, how much importance do you really put on the wind and scent detection? Because I've honestly been sitting in these shooting houses and had deer directly downwind. I mean, they don't seem to know we're in the world. I mean, do you feel like it does a good job of suppressing scent?
When you're in a blind, most time you're hunting with a rifle, And with a feeder, I mean, it really varies. Some people, 80 yards, some people like them longer, 150 yards. Just depends on your comfort level of shooting and how close you want to draw them in. But I think the more important thing is the direction of the sun, morning and evening sun. You don't want to be looking in the sun either way. Yeah, so your wind direction when you're hunting in a blind with a rifle is not, I mean, it's always important to pay attention to the wind, but when you're in that blind, you're a lot more concealed and your scent stays in there, being further away from the animals. Whereas bow hunting, yeah, it's super important.
Yeah, we can get a dive super deep into that if we had time too. I mean, as far as, not blowing that deer out and not blowing your scent over his bedding area, because he's, if he's going from bedding to feeding, you can smell, he'll smell you for sure walking in and out.
Yeah, so I mean, like you said, you're looking for, movement in an area, but also by setting up that feeder to begin with, or setting up that camera to begin with, and kind of keeping tabs on how deer are coming and how they're leaving, that gives you a good idea of where they might be bedding. Because most of the time, I don't know how it is in Texas, but in the Deep South, my experience has been those deer are bedded fairly close to that food source. If it's a consistent food source early in the year,
Especially
I'm
early season.
yeah, like bow season, they're bedded within 100, 200 yards of that field usually. In rifle season, I've definitely witnessed where they're making a little bit longer of a trek to get to that food source, but like I don't want to be walking to the stand, and having my scent blowing into an area where those deer are bedded, getting ready to come to that field in the afternoon. And then vice versa, if I'm going to a stand in the morning, I think you got to look at, okay, well, we think the deer are probably on the food source right now, in the pre-dawn hour. So I don't want to be busting them off that food source trying to get into my location. One of the things that's really helped me with that is setting my shooting houses back off the food source a little bit. How far do you recommend doing that to kind of account for your scent and all these other things that we're talking about?
I food plots, I mean, some of these fields can get pretty big. So I mean, I don't know what the furthest distance is to the tree line. I mean, what do you set your fields? How big are they?
I always work off of a typical, high-powered rifle. Most people are going to be able to set their rifle up to take a shot inside of 300 yards without doing any kind of doping of their scope or anything like that. If you're shooting a 270 or a 30-06 or a 308 or something like that, if a deer walks out there and it's 275 yards away or it's 25 yards away, you pretty much can just hold on the animal and take the shot. So I kind of set it up that way. I want to be able to see if I've got a really big field, I want my shooting house to be no more than 300 yards from the furthest point that I can see in that field. But I don't want to be right up on top of it.
Yeah, I'd say at
I
least,
agree.
comfort level 50 yards at least. I mean, I wouldn't want to be right up on that field to where the food source is. Typically here, we'll hit road feeders before we go out. So we'll drive down the Senderos, spread corn on the road, which attracts them, and then later a feeder will actually go off, and your feeder, they're used to coming to that feeder, but actually they come to that road corn very good as well. That the feeder, most guys will set that off usually about 100 yards, 120, 150. So the deer stay away from you. And then that road corn, you don't want to reel them in too close and get them to where they can smell you more. So I think it's important to keep your distance, yet keep it in a ethical shooting range and whatever your skill level is, be comfortable with.
I know one thing I learned this from Butch and his dad and his brother, and it's something I've incorporated into my own strategy with shooting house placement. I always love the way y'all left those buffers in front of the shooting house.
It's a big deal, man. Leave that grass about head high where you can really sneak in there. It makes a big difference.
Huge deal, because you've got a 50-yard buffer of vegetation that's literally impenetrable, by eyesight, that's at your your eye level, allows you to walk right up to the base of that stand, and you can kind of creep up that ladder and see what's out there. And even if there's animals in the field, if you move real slow and pay attention to when they're picking their head up,
Yeah,
got
just
their
stop
head,
walking.
just stop. Even, I was, last year I was laughing because I was able to get in a shooting house with $5 in a field with my dad, my 7-year-old son, and two dogs.
It's
And
pretty
like,
impressive.
yeah,
That's
I mean,
amazing.
it was, but it was all about having that buffer, and they weren't focused out past that buffer. They were focused in that field,
Sure.
and we just quit planting, so we just don't plant that. It's basically, I've been doing about 50 yards. What do you do? But what do y'all do? You kind of leave
That's
them.
about right. It depends on the stand. It depends on the field. But yeah, we just kind of try and leave either, like a triangle. If it's a kind of a triangle shaped field, leave a triangle of about, 50 yards of that stuff. And it really, as much as you can for a buffer, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, that kind of goes with the height of your tower as well. If you're,
Definitely.
it depends on what size, vegetation is there. I mean, the more vegetation that you can have in front of you and behind you, so you have a backdrop depending on how you're hunting again, but that's real important just for cover.
Yep. So how do you kind of walk people through that buying process as far as tower height? What are some questions that you ask?
It depends on the terrain. If you're already, some guys like ground blinds. They don't want to climb up a tower or anything like that. Like I said, it depends on the terrain. If you want to look over brush or trees or something like that, you're definitely going to want to get higher. The higher stands are, definitely more popular. People like that height. I think it gets them out of the scent, and it helps with a lot of things. They don't really look up as much. The lower you are, they're kind of, you're on their level. So, you get busted a little bit more if you're on the ground. But if you have an overlook or something like that, you really don't need a tower. I mean, you can see everything below you. The terrain is good for that. So it kind of depends on the terrain of where you're hunting at with the tower sizes.
Yeah, you got to think too. You guys make typically you have ground blinds, 4-foot towers, and 8-foot towers, right?
Okay. Yep.
That on the 8-foot tower, is that something that most compact tractors if are going to be able to pick that shooting house up with
Right.
forks and get it installed
Right. Yeah, that's
at
the
8 feet?
safest and easiest way to do it. Skid steer, plenty high to do an 8-footer. So yeah,
But if
you
you
can.
get above that, you're gonna have to like rent a lull or something.
Yeah, you'll have to have one of the, I forget what you even call it, but yeah, it's a higher
Yeah.
lifting
I know
machine.
Joe is speaking from experience. We've
Yeah,
been there,
but
done
well,
that. We've been there, done that.
when we
It was
put up
not
that,
fun.
we Butch and I put up a 12-foot tower at his place, and it was, I would just say it was dicey. Yeah.
Yeah,
It was
not the
definitely
safest thing I've
dicey.
ever done.
I didn't love it.
Wasn't my favorite.
Yeah, and eight's plenty. Like I haven't found a scenario where,
No.
like I was sitting in an 8-footer and go, man, I just wish it was a little bit higher. Like
Yeah, never.
it
No, I
seems
agree
because you're
with you.
still if your tower's at 8 feet,
You're about
your
12 foot eye
eyesight
level.
is at 12 feet. And that's pretty good. Most places, considering. Hunting Senderos though, one of the things when I have hunted those types of places is I get tired of looking constantly, like I have found that if I'm looking in too many directions, it's overwhelming, and I get to where I just focus like in a couple of directions, because I feel like if I'm trying to maintain 360 degrees of visibility, I'm going to miss something in some capacity. And so I try to focus in on just like, okay, here's where I really think the animals are going to come from.
Right.
When y'all are hunting in those type of areas, like, is that something you try to set up where you don't have to focus 360, or do you like hunting a spot where you're like, man, they could be at any direction? I don't know.
Yeah.
Personal
Again, that's
preferences,
a
I don't
personal
like that.
preference deal. I feel the same way as you do. I don't like my neck hurting. I don't, I, the me less movement, the better. When you're hunting all different directions, your head's spinning and there could be several different deer out there that you're looking at, and you're just waiting for the right one, So personally, yeah, I do not like, I like two shooting lanes, probably max, or a field out in front of me.
Yeah.
I don't like looking behind me, worrying about, hey, what's going to sneak up behind me, come underneath me. Yeah, I do not like hunting all different directions. I know there's some people that do, and there's some reasons for that. You have a nice overlook with four different roads. That's great. Deer can come from all different directions. I just personally don't like worrying about what's coming behind me. So.
Yeah, I'm the same way, and I feel like if you've got, so I've heard people say, well, if you've got a food source down each lane, then that food source is going to stop them. So if you're looking, they'll be there. They're not just going to cross and be gone. But then I'm going, well, then you've got deer all the way around you, so there's a way better chance of getting busted. That's one of the other things I look at is, I'm kind of looking at that prevailing wind direction. Some of this that we're talking about today is probably useful for people that have an existing spot and they're trying to decide where they want to put a shooting house in that existing spot. But there's a whole nother line of thinking when it comes to creating a spot. And that was something that Butch and I got to do on my place. It was a lot of fun where we're going, all
That's a
right,
lot of fun.
this is a pine plantation right now. We're going to harvest these trees, de-stump this area. So when you get to design it the way you really want it from scratch, you're going, all right, I don't want, 180. I don't want to be looking right, looking left, and looking straight ahead. I want to kind of be looking, at a 45. And you can create three lanes, but it's more like a turkey foot instead of a T, so to speak. What about you,
Yeah,
Butch? What
I
do
love it.
you like it all
I love
directions,
it.
huh?
I love it. I have two of my favorite spots. I don't like behind me. I agree with you guys on that, but I have several spots that, have every single direction, just shooting lane in front of you, one left and one right. And I love it. I'm like a meth head on a pogo stick up there, man. I'm looking left, looking right, looking forward, looking left, looking right, looking forward. Because it keeps me excited all the time. You just never know when one's going to pop out in any direction. It's not one of those stands you're going to be sitting there playing on your phone. I can guarantee you that.
I know you guys make blinds that have both the archery style vertical windows and the horizontal style rifle windows. I've personally never hunted out of a blind that has the vertical style of window, and it's kind of for me, I don't know if it's because of my years of bow hunting. I always felt like, man, I got to really be concealed, and and I would get up in there and just try to tuck a lock on up in a tree with branches and brush all around me, and it just kind of, to me, it almost felt wrong
Yeah, but how many shooting houses do you have where
Well, I know.
deer will walk right under you, walk 8 feet, right? That
Yeah.
stand I'm talking about, they come so close to there all the time. It'd be an easy spot to bow hunt out of a shooting house.
Yeah, I mean,
Be
obviously
a cool option.
you're listening to the market, and I guess you're finding that a lot of people like shooting houses for bow hunting too. Is there
Yeah, they like that
any tricks
option.
to that?
I just think they like that option. I heard someone say the other day, hey, if you get a close shot, you're not going to be able to, get your rifle down real far in front of you. But with this combination, this vertical bow window, you can shoot right out of that thing. Some people like it also with kids. Kids can see easier. They don't have to get up on a chair or, well, they don't have to stand up on a chair or get on their knees or anything like that. Stay seated. But I think it's just it's an option. You can still rifle hunt very well. It's a large front window that we have on our current combination style. And then you have two smaller rifle windows on each side. So you can still rifle hunt just as easy as you can out of an all rifle blind. But it creates that option. If you do have someone that comes to your place and wants to bow hunt, you can, and that all also depends on your food source and where it is, but there's a possibility if you ever wanted to, you can also change that into a bow stand.
It's a good point. I didn't think about the kids aspect of it. And actually bow season's opening up here next week. I'm planning on going up to my place and enjoying that opening weekend. And I was talking to my wife, saying, hey, are you gonna come? Are you gonna bring the kids? And I was hoping she would, but the reality of it is it's like when I'm bow hunting, it's tough to get a
Can't really bring a
7 year
kid up
old
there.
and or a 3 year old in the stand. But I don't
Especially
really, I don't care if I kill one with a bow. Like I would be very happy to have them out there with me, sitting in a blind with a vertical window. At least gives me the possibility to take that bow shot while still keeping them concealed and keeping them with me. I had not ever really thought about that, but you're completely right. I never considered the fact that even just in a normal rifle hunting scenario, that happens all the time with my young boys where they're sitting on a chair next to me and they can't see out of those horizontal windows. And so I'll put them on my lap, or they get tired of craning their neck and they want to sit on the floor of the shooting house and position right. That's something to definitely consider, is having those vertical windows. What do
Yeah,
you?
I think the big advantage, just all around, it just gives you so many options to hunt out of, and you can do, it's very versatile, whatever you want to
Just bring your gun and your bow, and then you're ready for whatever.
do.
Right. Look
Rambo
at
it, yeah.
360
Yeah.
degrees and yeah.
Multi-weapon operation.
Well, I think we were talking about it a little bit earlier. Installing the shooting house, to me, if you don't have your ducks in a row, can be a little dicey. Just physically getting the shooting house to where you need to get it to, having it up on a front end loader or something like that. Safety is a big thing when installing these shooting houses. But overall, when people are setting up shooting houses, what are some of the mistakes you're seeing people making where they're having to come back and maybe reposition it, or they're just not happy with it, in the long run?
Yeah, I think you just, like I said, you just have to plan it. Look over, look at the wind directions, the prevailing wind directions when you're hunting. Like I said, the big one for me is sun. I hate looking into the sun. I've hunted some places where you have a stand you can't hunt in the morning and a stand you can't hunt in the evening, and nobody wants to go to those places. So, that's a big deal. I got involved in a setup here recently where access getting the stand in, it was a big deal. I mean, we had to trim trees and rearrange the blind on the trailer just to get it back there for someone. And that's the big thing. Safety wise, just you have to time down. Anything on a tower, even a ground blind, I like to secure. You get these high winds and it's gone, and it's an investment that you're just laying on the ground now. So there's some that you can rebuild and some that are very difficult to rebuild, and it's very important to tie them down. That's the mistake we see. They get them out there, put them up, but they don't think about tying them down, and that's the thing of that you have to plan for most, because that's always for me the hardest part is digging those holes and just anchoring it. So,
All right, guys, let's take a quick break. Check out a few of this week's great sponsors.
Simple Pets. From Pradco Outdoor Brands, makers of the Texas Hunter line of game and fish feeders, comes the latest innovation to your pet care. Meet the Blazer Automatic Dog Feeder. Whether you're at home or away, it serves up perfectly portioned meals to your loyal companion. There's no need for a power outlet. It runs just like your deer or fish feeder with a rechargeable battery. And with a 40-pound capacity and a sturdy stainless steel bowl, it's made for dogs of all sizes, indoors or out. Ready to make life easier for both you and your dog? Visit TexasHunter.com and check out the Blazer Automatic Dog Feeder. Your dog will love it. First South Farm Credit. What does a farm mean to you? Maybe it's just a piece of land where you can go relax or enjoy the outdoors. Whatever the farm means to you, First South Farm Credit can help you finance or refinance that perfect piece of land. As a successful financial cooperative, First South shares its profits with its borrowers in the form of a patronage refund, which lowers your cost of borrowing. To find out how First South can help you, visit their website at firstsouthland.com or call them at 800-955-1722. They are an equal housing lender. 157 Outfitters operates out of southeastern Wyoming, utilizing 100% private leases. They offer hunts for waterfowl, pronghorn, whitetail deer, mule deer, turkey, and elk. Their area is world renowned as possibly the most consistent quality waterfowl hunting in the United States. For their deer, antelope, and turkey hunts, they are unique in the ability that they can draw a license for you and get you hunting within 1 year. Hunts are operated out of two lodges on the banks of the North Platte River. Firearms, ammo, and a private chef can all be arranged prior to your arrival. Reserve your spot today at 157outfitters.com. What about getting backlit? I've always been kind of a, what's the word, anal about that, where I'm worried that if I move in that shooting house, if I've got windows all the way around me, that they're going to see my movement easier. I've always liked to have kind of a shaded, something shaded behind me. How important is that, do you think?
Our blinds, I think all of them are set up to where it really prevents that. And it really depends. We make them a very versatile tool for hunting all directions and just hunting, like I said, just one or two ways. I think backlit is, that's definitely something to consider. On our trophy blinds and our extreme blinds, we have concealment panels, and we always recommend to people, if you want them in front to conceal you from the sun, that's great. I personally like to put them all in behind me, like you said, to conceal so you don't get backlit, and it stays dark in there and they can't really see you moving. In our Wrangler blind, we've got what we call concealment panels, and they're outside shades. So it darkens everything up on the inside so you can't get backlit. And then our rugged series, we do tinted windows. So if you're not hunting one direction, you can always keep those closed to conceal you inside of there. So, in our blinds, we do certain things to kind of prevent that. So I think that's definitely very important to consider.
Yeah, I think it matters.
Butch has this one shooting house. I don't know when it was built. It was probably built like before Texas Hunter even started building shooting houses. I hate it that much. It's
Hey man, don't be talking bad about my shooting house.
that's a really crappy shooting house. For lots of different reasons, but the main thing I hate about it is getting into it. It's got a little sh I'm tall, fairly tall. I'm 6'4". It's got a little short door. Seems like they always put me there when it's super cold outside and I've got 9 layers on and a big backpack and man, I could go
About
on
to
and
get
on.
into.
I
Yeah.
won't.
It's a good
It, I,
spot, though.
I, it, it's a good spot. I've been in a lot of shooting houses that where just getting up into them is the thing I don't like about them. And that gets back to like the ladder system and the step system. I personally really like steps because young kids, older folks, me, with if it's raining, if I got mud on my boots, like I've got a handrail and I got steps, I can get in. It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy doing the dark.
Sure.
But you guys make both. Where do you think steps are the right choice and a ladder is an okay choice?
Well, I think it's like you said, the older blinds, it's the evolution of the blind. Everything was a ladder, basically straight up with a small door, and people wanted more, so they went to a full door with a stair system. Stair systems definitely, extend the life of the hunter. Older hunters can definitely, still hunt longer. Younger hunters, it's so much easier for them to get up as well. It's just a safety thing. It's so much safer and easier to get up to. It's a nice gradual slope, and the full door, you just walk right through rather than crawling through a little hole underneath a window or something like that.
A lot
So
quieter too. Those seems like you always get snagged. That's the thing I hate the most about that blind at Butch's place is it's got
it's so loud.
the door's all cockeyed and you have to like put pressure on it a certain way or it just makes
Bam.
the
Oh
worst
yeah.
banging sound you've ever heard.
Yeah.
It's definitely the gar hole. I get put in the gar hole a lot, man. What's up with
Hey man, you killed a bunch of deer there, haven't you?
that?
It might not
Sure.
be the prettiest shooting house, but it's a good spot.
It is a
It's a
good
good
gar
spot.
hole. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. I just feel like it's either not considering how you're going to get into it. We talked a lot about that. Like, you're not thinking about access, whether it's getting in or getting out. You're not thinking about who's going to be using it. The thing I think about too, like with some of the blinds that have that ladder is maybe it's in a spot where you don't hunt very much. Like if you're going to have your big field that you always end up going to, that you really love sitting at, like
That you know you're going to bring the kids to,
You're gonna have the
you
kids
want
too.
to be
I want to have
comfortable.
it be the Taj Mahal, whereas this might just be this one shooting lane that we don't, I mean, maybe it gets hunted a handful of times a season. You may not
Yeah, sure.
need the
You know you're going to be alone probably.
right. Yeah. More a simpler design is probably better in those scenarios. Is that why y'all still have so much variation in the shooting houses that you make? Because y'all've got the original, basically, I guess it's right, the original design with the ladder. Made from starboard, you got an aluminum design, and then you've got the new rugged extreme design, which is a roto molded, right?
Correct. Yeah, so we do we still have that ladder option. Price point, the stairs are definitely more expensive. Very easy to get into, but it is a price point. And then, like you said, some guys are hunting by themselves. They're not planning to go hunt with anybody. So a 4x4 is perfectly fine. You don't need a big 4x8 stand that you're going to roll around in and, sleep in. So I mean, everybody hunts differently. So that's why we kind of have a different variety of stands, different price points to kind of fit most needs.
Well, I know you guys have got some innovations coming out. Anything you're excited about that's new for Texas Hunter in this season?
This season, we kind of fell behind on something that we were working on. So I think, I don't want to let a cat out of the bag, but I think we're working on some stuff that's going to be pretty big. We'll probably see early next year, definitely. So until we get everything completed, I don't really want to let that cat out of the bag. But I think there are some things in the pipeline that are real close. Some things that'll, help you inside the blind. Just make things more comfortable and easier on you. And then just kind of a different, design window system, stuff like that. So.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned, those different things inside the blind. That is one thing that we didn't cover. I think a lot of people don't think about is how you're actually going to take the shot. Where if you're sitting on a field and those deer are going to be out in predominantly out in that field, or maybe you've got a feeder out there, you think they're going to be out there. I've been in so many shooting houses that I could not get a solid rest. I'm like sitting there and I've got the gun propped up on the window and I don't have anywhere to put I'm right-handed. I don't have anywhere to put my right elbow, my trigger hand. I don't have any way to get multiple points of contact and feel like I've got a steady rest. And so taking longer shots is not ideal with that. What do y'all do? And I've been in some high-end premium shooting houses that y'all do not make, and I was very surprised at the lack of shootability, I guess I would say. I mean, I'm going, man, these folks are asking, a lot of money for
Thousands,
these shooting
thousands of dollars.
houses, and I
Right.
can't get a steady rest in here. That seems like really wasn't
Fundamental.
thought through, like that's the whole point of being up here. What do y'all do to help the shooter?
So, I personally like shooting out of the 4x4, 4x8. I get in the corner, you've got 3 points of contact, you're solid. I've shot a lot of stuff out of those. The other ones, we've got the shelf and the Wrangler with the nice gun yoke. That's, makes a solid rest. And then the gun bags, I don't know if that's traditional or not, but I like taking the gun bag. It makes it a solid rest for me. You don't always get a, depends where the animal is. You don't always have that third point of contact with your elbow, but I think the gun bags are really solidifies a lot of things, and it's simple. I mean, it's a simple product, and it's just something that just helps accuracy a lot.
Yep.
Seems
Yeah,
like
you guys definitely make some cool accessories, cool chairs for the blinds. I like the rubber floor mat. I think that's a cool, nice touch. It's another thing I've noticed with a lot of shooting houses is like they're loud. Even though they're
Very
nice,
loud.
even though they're nice, they're loud. It seems like y'all take some extra care to dampen noise as much as you have. I wonder how much of that is just my own, maybe I'm worrying too much, but I don't like sitting in a blind where every time I bump into the wall, it
It'd
sounds
be
like a gong
disrupting.
going off.
Yeah, I
Right.
agree.
What do y'all do to help dampen noise?
Well, definitely the floor mats. That's big. If you drop anything, if you drop a shell and you're loading something, or kids get in there and you want to take your kids hunting, if they drop something or they're banging around on stuff, floor mat really helps dampen the noise. Within the Wrangler, the Wrangler is all carpeted, so that helps dampen the anything that's going on inside there. It's a more, I think it's a, almost like a sound, not a soundproofing room, but it really helps dampen a lot of noise with the carpet and the cushion floor mat. The roto molded, there's really not much. If you hit the sides, it's a pretty dampened noise already. So that's kind of what I like about that one. So yeah, there's a few little touches that we do to help dampen a lot of the noise that might happen inside a deer blind. Ultimately, the goal is to be quiet, but it happens. So.
I
Oh yeah.
think too, like one of the things that I've been in certain shooting houses, and they're either really cold shooting houses or really hot shooting houses. With y'all's various designs, depending on the climate you're in, you're hunting Texas. I know it still gets cold there, But it's probably one of the warmer deer hunting states. I would think Alabama's also one of the warmer deer hunting states. Across y'all's various designs, are there any that do better in warmer versus colder climates?
The carpet is definitely the, helps. We don't have a true insulated blind. Whether you're unless you're heating or cooling it, it's eventually going to get that same temperature. If you put like a little buddy heater or something like that in one of these, it's going to heat up really nice. Warmth, I mean, and like right now it's, I don't know, 95 out here. It's bow season, but there's also early season permits and stuff like that. And even in December, it gets up 80s, 90s. It's not fun to hunt in the heat. So once you open these windows, it feels a lot better. You get a breeze. But when it's hot, I mean, you're gonna be hot no matter what. So unfortunately.
Do y'all have anything? We're talking about getting backlit, and you mentioned I think you solve a lot of these problems by paying very close attention to what you said at the beginning, which is the direction of sunlight. But you mentioned opening those windows. We were talking about scent suppression, that kind of thing. When you get in, do you open all your windows, one of your windows, a certain particular, like, do you feel like I ran into this last year, and it was something that I had some guests up to my place, and I put them in a spot where the wind was should have been right, and they had a really nice buck walk, I mean, 5 yards from the shooting house, and it was on the downwind side, and they had opened up their downwind window, and that buck didn't really haul ass out of there. He just kind of he knew
Got
something
stiff
wasn't
labor
quite
there.
right, and he expedited his exit quicker than they could get a shot. And when you get in, do you open up all your windows, or do you have a particular window based on wind direction that you'll open to allow some airflow if it's a warmer day?
I mean, on a warmer day, I open them up as much as I can. I'd
Okay.
open the door if I could, but
Okay.
that opens you totally to being backlit.
Right.
So, no, on warm days, yeah, I'm open up just about anything.
Okay.
Cooler days, I open up just shooting lanes. Sometimes we'll, I'd leave the exterior concealment panels closed, conceal me as much as possible, but then I open up, my shooting lanes. Like on the Wrangler, you can actually keep those concealment panels closed and then just slide them quietly once something, if you're going to take a shot or anything like that. So.
Yeah, that's a cool feature. One of them, I have a couple of nice high-end blinds, not Texas Hunter. One of the most annoying things for me is just like you're talking about those windows. If you get in and it's really cold, wind's coming in one direction, I might, open up just on the field. There might be a shooting lane to my right or something like that that I'll keep closed. Man, some of those windows are so loud, and I just feel like I can't open it, much less if a deer is out there.
Yeah, they're like a school bus window or something.
And that's really,
They
really
get
loud.
sticking, and they might even be lubricated pretty nice at first, but if they're after they've sat out in the elements for a year or two, it's
They
hard to
get
get them to
sticky.
open.
And those latches, they
And
click. You got to hit it in the
yeah.
right spot or else it'll click and scare everything off. Yeah.
Yep. So what does Texas Hunter do?
I mean, on our older style, we do use a sliding window, which we have, it's a material that helps it slide quietly. So it keeps it real nice and quiet. But on the Rugged and the Wrangler, we use a nice flip open window. Very quiet. We looked at the sliding type windows, but there's a lot of benefits to the flip open windows. One, being quiet. Two, if you need to clean the exterior, you're not, you can just simply flip up the window, wipe it, close it back down if you want. So we like the personally like the flip up windows just for those two facts. Quiet, plus you can easy to clean them.
And we haven't really touched on, my favorite part is you don't have to clean those things out every year, with it being all sealed. So do those windows still stay very sealed, and you don't have to mess with it every year?
They do. Yeah, it's
That's a
the
big deal.
door. Yeah, it is.
Bigger deal than you think it's going to be. When I was a kid, and we were hunting on the hunting leases and that kind of thing, you had work days, and you go to the camp, and all the old men and the guys that, kind of had the pull in the club, they were the guys that got to ride tractors and do kind of the cushy work.
Yeah, they were not brooming
Guys
out
like me
owl
were
crap,
you're the
walking
wasp
around with a
here.
broom and a can of wasp spray, and we got to go see what had made a nest in the shooting house over the spring and the
I've seen
summer.
some nasty stuff, man.
And yeah, I mean, it was a whole day of cleaning out shooting houses. That was our job. We were the shooting house crew, and we rode around, cleaned out shooting houses, trim limbs,
Not fun.
and I ne you know, back when I first got my own place, I kind of thought, get out there and I'll build me a couple of shooting houses, you know, I'd save a little money and that kind of thing. And I got a nice shooting house that had good windows. And I went to the first work day, you know, kind of the first time I had been up over the summer, and I went to go check the shooting houses, and I got in there. I was like, man, it looks exactly like it did when we left last winter. And there's nothing to do anymore. And that's worth a lot. It's worth more than you think it's going to be worth to
Definitely agree.
recognize that that's one job that you totally don't have to do anymore. Is that really, just like you said, about the only thing you got to do is clean the windows every year. But if you've got one of those windows that slides vertically, it's hard to clean them. So those that flip up is nice, and they flip inside so that you can get to them.
That's no fun getting a surprise.
Oh man.
That was probably fun back then, wasn't
I got m many stories.
No, it wasn't even fun back then.
I'm glad we didn't build our towers very high, because I definitely jumped out of several shooting houses after having animals come out
Right.
after me. Well, man, you know, there is a lot that goes into thinking about shooting house placement to if you want to do it right. I mean, you can go plunk it on the edge of the field, but I think you're going to be disappointed with some of your hunts if you do that.
Sure.
I appreciate you sitting down here with us today and kind of getting our thoughts together. I know Butch has got a couple places at his place. He's getting ready to put some stands. I'm doing the same. And it's something that I always think about. And I'm sure other folks are thinking about not only where to put a new shooting house, but maybe where to make a field. And I think if you think about all these things, it will help you design your food plots that you're going to put in a lot better. I know I did, and I really enjoy all my shooting houses where they are right now. If folks want to get and check out your different lineup, like I said, you've got basically three different styles of shooting houses that you guys produce, and then you have multiple different configurations for tower heights, window styles, sizes. Where can they go? And then you guys are doing a giveaway, right? For your 70th anniversary. Tell us about that.
You can always check us out at texashunter.com, texashunterproducts.com, either one. Request a catalog. We've got a great catalog, you know, shows you all the details of each of the blinds. But yeah, this year it's our 70th anniversary. So celebrating 70 seasons, we are doing a Wrangler blind giveaway. So one of the combination blinds, like I said, it's super versatile. That's our, you know, everybody's favorite blind. So it's pretty easy. You just submit a photo, tell us why that was your favorite hunt. Well, submit a photo of your favorite hunt, tell us why it's your favorite hunt. Really nothing else involved. But yeah, we're doing that now through the end of January. So you've got
Awesome.
plenty of time to do it, and we hope someone wins that really enjoys shooting.
Yeah,
Yeah.
those Wrangler blinds are sweet.
That'd be a cool thing to get
Yeah,
from a
yeah. So
giveaway.
on submitting all that, Cody, if folks want to get into this giveaway, where would you recommend they go to sign up?
So yeah, you can hit either of our social media centers, Instagram or Facebook, and you'll find it right in there. And then we'll also put that in our on our website here shortly. So either place.
Cody, it's been fun, man. Thanks for sharing your insight. I learned some things I'm going to incorporate into my next placement, and I'm going to have to get out there. I'm either going to have to come to Texas and start hunting Sendero's, or I'm just going to start
Just
calling them
calling them
Sendero's
there.
at my
I like
place.
it.
Yeah, I'm liking that. I'm liking that. Thanks for joining us,
Thank you,
man.
guys. I appreciate it too. I learned a lot from y'all. A lot of good points y'all made. So I appreciate y'all.
Thanks for joining us again, Cody. We enjoyed it. All right, guys, let's take a quick break. Check out a few of this week's great sponsors.
Baker Metalworks and Dixie Supply. Baker Metalworks and Dixie Supply offer numerous items to help get your project done right the first time. They carry a variety of different panel profiles and your choice of colors and gauges with all the matching trim and accessories. They also offer a full line of hardware items and post-frame building design. Their friendly and knowledgeable sales representatives are always willing to help answer any questions or concerns you may have. Contact them with any questions or to get a free estimate today. Baker Metalworks and Dixie Supply, your metal roofing headquarters. Southern Seed and Feed. Do you want to provide better nutrients to your deer? If so, try Southern Buck Food Plot Blends. Your deer will love it. At Southern Seed and Feed, they specialize in making textured feed for horses, cattle, sheep, goats, hogs, chickens, small animals, and wildlife. Their products are proven irresistible, scientifically formulated to promote excellent herd health and hunter satisfaction. They supply products to various distributors throughout the South. So visit their website at southernseedfeed.com or call 662-726-2638 to find the dealer nearest you. Bucks Island Marine. At BucksIsland.com, you can check out the full list of inventory from new and used bass, pontoon, and bow rider style boats, new and used motors, as well as kayaks. They love trade-ins, which provides a steady stream of used boats, and they can rig your boat at their 18-bay service department or ship your new motor anywhere in the United States. They provide boat service on all kinds of boats, even if they weren't purchased from Bucks. They have factory-trained and certified technicians, so visit them at 4500 Highway 77 in Southside, Alabama, or give them a call at 256-442-2588. Butch, it pains me to say this, but I've actually learned a lot about shooting house placement and, you know, getting it just right from you and your family. But it was hard for me to get that out.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Once you
mess it up, as many times as we have throughout the years, you figure a few things out.
Yeah. I also learned that I do not want to buy a shooting house that has the design of that one you keep putting me in.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
But like Cody was talking about having a shooting bag, all my shooting houses have multiple shooting bags in them. It's so handy.
Yep. We've done it in the last couple of years.
Just leave them in there.
Yep.
Sandbag. Big deal. Big deal.
Yep.
I didn't realize it would make that big of a difference, but if you're hanging a gun off of a window ledge, being able to
shooting 300 yards, you're going to have to be pretty stable.
Yeah. Being able to create a little nest for it there. And, I have appreciated your help at my place in getting my shooting house placement just right. But also thinking, like I said, thinking about all of this stuff. We were thinking about all this stuff before we ever cut the first tree down.
Right.
That's been instrumental in making my place hunt better and hunt, you know, we can hunt more out of those same stands.
Mm-hmm.
than we could.
Not blowing your deer every time you go in and out.
Yep, for sure.
It's a big
fun
deal.
Show. And I like putting up shooting houses. It's fun. It's like all this stuff we always talk about is it's the build up for the season, you know?
That's right.
And you can't wait to go sit in that shooting house the first time. And when you go back, you remember, like, I remember when you dropped the shooting house off the forks on my tractor because you didn't strap it down.
Pretty sure that was you that dropped the shooting house.
It's not how I remember it.
Okay.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for us this week. Appreciate you joining us. We want to make it easy for you to listen. So here's a handy option for you to get the podcast emailed to you each week. Just text the word hunting to 773-770-4377. Again, just text the word hunting to 773-770-4377. You'll join our email list. And wherever you are listening to podcasts, go ahead, subscribe, rate, and review. Send us a written review. We'd love to hear from you. If you got a show topic that you are interested in and like to see us cover, just email us at pros@landhunting.com. That's going to do it for us. Y'all stay safe out there. We'll talk to you next time.